Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, choir. Forever I will sing of the goodness of God. God is good, yes? Yes, indeedy. We are blessed, yes? Yes, indeed. So thank you to our trio also for bringing us, oh, happy day. Today is a happy day, is it not? Yes, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. And as we love to do every Mother's Day, as well as Father's Day, when it's your turn, but we like to acknowledge all of those who are mothers. And if you're able, why don't you stand so that we can offer you our love and our appreciation and just to acknowledge you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. And those of you who are joining us live, we know that you too are mothers, and so hopefully you stood up in your own spaces and places, and we offer you our love and our appreciation, and we thank you for worshiping with us this morning. It is a beautiful day. It's a happy day. It's Mother's Day. So thank you once again. You know, I was thinking about how blessed I am to still, at my young age, to still have my mother here with me. So, you know, it's a blessing because she is 96 years young and she'll be 97 in August. But I was reflecting that having her with me has been such a blessing for me. I do not have children of my own, but I have a very strong maternal instinct. I mother everybody. If you're near me at some point, I'm going to mother you or whatever. That's just my nature. But I was thinking how blessed I am to have her with me and that I had this opportunity to make sure that, you know, all is right in her world, to be able to take care of her, to make sure that I'm giving her the best care that I could do and that she's well taken care of. But as I began to reflect upon it, I thought, well, actually, her being with me is really taking care of me. It's caused me to be stronger as I move through my own health challenge. That if she were not here, I think there probably would have been many days where I would have languished in the bed. Oh me, poor me, look what's happened. I certainly probably wouldn't, you know, cook dinner every night. I have to cook dinner every night because Mama still likes to eat. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. She's regimented. She likes that. And I thought, oh, it makes me stand stronger and that I can put my own sense of self aside for a moment to make sure that she is taken care of. And I thought, that's the quality of a mother. That's what mothers do. Right? As we were riding in, we were talking about that, and she was saying how she, you know, my youngest brother, she finally heard from him. She heard from my oldest brother. I wished, of course, happy Mother's Day, but my youngest brother hadn't contacted her yet. So Mama Bird is what, oh, I hope he's okay. I haven't heard from him yet. And I said, it's fine. He probably just forgot. But then finally coming, you know, here, she was able to hear from him. She says, no, I've heard from all three of my children. I'm good. I feel good now. You know, she says, because that's what a mother wants, to make sure that all of her children are well taken care of. So I just said, you know, I'm just so blessed. And that's how God works, because I'm thinking I'm taking care of her, but actually my spirit needed to have her give me the strength to continue to move forward. When I'm tired, I just get up. No, she got to eat, got to do dinner, got to do this. Let me go do laundry. And it's causing me not to sit and be sorrowful in my own condition. So what a blessing that is, right? That's how God works. That is how God works. When I was thinking about the message I wanted to bring this morning, you know, whenever each Sunday I kind of ask Spirit, what's the message for today, for Sunday? What do I need to, you know, speak on? And as I was contemplating and just being open and receptive to hear, I heard the phrase, the feminine mystique. That just popped up into my head. And I wasn't quite sure what that was all about, but that's what Spirit gave me. And I said, oh, okay. And I tried to go on a different direction, but it kept bringing me back to the feminine mystique. And so even though I have heard that phrase years ago, I wasn't really sure what it was all about. So I do what I always do. I began to look it up, right? So I looked it up, and because I wasn't sure of the exact meaning. And this is it. It's a phrase that was coined by a woman named Betty Friedan, who wrote a book with that title in 1963, that's 62 years ago. And this is what it says about the book. It says, it critiques the post-World War II societal assumptions, and the operative word that we want to focus on is assumptions. But it focuses on the post-World War II societal assumptions that women's fulfillment came from domesticity, marriage, and child rearing. And she sort of railed against that notion back in 1963, that held belief, and it then goes on to say, this critique says that the held belief at that time was that truly, and this is what they have in quotes, truly feminine women didn't desire careers, higher education, or a political voice. That was the thinking, right? At that time, no, women do not desire careers or higher education or even having a political voice. And so she began to go and interview women around the country. And guess what? Women around the country said, no, we want careers, higher education, and what? A political voice. And so she wrote about this feminine mystique, cracking the old paradigm of what that was all about, challenging that. And as I was meditating on this whole notion, I thought, wow, that was 62 years ago. But here we are today in 2025 with a bunch of folks, primarily, I'm just going to say it, leaders of Project 2025, as well as leaders from the Christian National or National Christian Movement or the Christian Nationalist Movement. I'm not sure which one comes before, but I wouldn't hang my hat on it because it doesn't really have much of the views of Christianity behind it. Really doesn't focus a lot on the teachings of Christ. But those two groups basically are now trying to do the same thing. And not only take us back to post-World War II society, but drag us all the way back to even biblical days, where women were considered property and chattel and didn't have, you know, any kind of sense of self, that their worth was attributed to the family that they belonged to or the husband that they were married to. And if they have it their way, they can take us back to that era. But the genie's already out of the bag. That's just not going to... The genie is out of the bag. And so I don't think that we're going to get by. Now, not unless people give in to propaganda and are sort of... brainwashed like in The Handmaid's Tale, but I think it'll be kind of hard for at least women of my generation and coming up to say that we really want to go back to that particular era. And I'm thinking, wow, how much will be missed? Not only is it one thing to minimize the value and the worth, right, the worth of half the population on the planet, give or take a few million. Half the population, what would we lose if we were able to really minimize the value and worth of half the population? We would certainly miss out on the contributions that can, that have been, and will continue to be made that could further us in our growth and our advancement as a society, as a people on the planet, our evolutionary growth, if we just cut out half the population. Every particular sector on the planet would be affected. Right? teachers, mathematicians, engineers, we are everywhere. And so if that all of a sudden became the norm, the progress and evolution of our species would be halted. Would be halted. And not only that, but I'm thinking about, more importantly, if we were to cut out half of the population, we would miss out on the spiritual qualities of being as expressed through the divine feminine, that those qualities that help to balance us out, those qualities that help to bring us into a state of wholeness and oneness. There's a reason why there are two sets of folks on the planet. And we bring balance to one another. But to have one without the other is going to move us into a state of not only imbalance, but I think chaos, darkness, because we would have not the wisdom of the other half. Because both the divine masculine and the divine feminine are needed for life. Both are needed for life. The divine masculine, yes, is the spark that seeds life. But it is the divine feminine that nourishes it. You see, it's the divine feminine that causes life to flourish and to grow. It nourishes life into manifestation. We're all the manifested experience of that divine feminine nurturing and nourishing, feeding our physical presence, but also symbolically our spiritual presence. It is the divine feminine that sort of brings things into fruition. Right? It is the part that supports, maintains, sustains. You would not be here if there were not the sustaining force of the mother, your mother. Whether you liked your mother, didn't like your mother, has nothing to do with it. That principle, physically as well as spiritually, nourished you into being. It's relational, it's loving, it's compassionate, it's comforting, it's understanding, it's accepting, and yes, it is civilizing. It's civilizing. That divine principle civilizes all of us because it helps to bring us into community. It helps to bring things together. It helps us to recognize that we are of one family and that, you know, all of us are welcome and needed to be at the table. I was thinking about how this mystique of the divine feminine, it honors all parts of the whole, right? And it makes room for everyone at the table of life. It makes room for everyone. Even, you know, crazy Uncle Bob, weird Aunt Sarah, they're welcome at the table of life, right? It makes room for that. Because what I'm thinking was, sadly, what we're seeing today in our nation isn't unifying. That divine principle of divine feminine is unifying. It unifies. It brings together, keeps together, harmonizes, brings the family together, relates together. And so what we're seeing now is not necessarily unifying, but terrorizing. It's not unifying. Because the sense of unification that we're seeing is that everybody must think alike, see alike, worship alike, look alike, have everything. And if you vary outside of the bounds of what this, you know, society is saying, then you're not a part. You're not welcome at the table. Whereas that divine feminine energy, you know, that the nature of the divine finds unity in the diversity. A mother knows that each of her children are different. They come with different values. They just show up differently. I have two brothers. I'm different from them. They are different from each other. We're all different. But a mother knows that each of her children are different, yet she loves them all the same. She may secretly have one of two that may be a favorite. But she really loves them all the same. She's willing to accept them as as her own because what? They're her children. And so she welcomes all of them with all of their creativity, lack of creativity, all of their uniqueness because they are her children. And she knows that they deserve her love and her unconditional love and acceptance of her. And this is a quality that the divine feminine brings to all of us, to like, we are all welcome at the table of life, recognizing our differences, honoring our differences, celebrating our differences, because we are all children of what? The Most High, children of God. And therefore, everybody has a place at the table. That feminine is the soul, the heart and soul of, I think, this life force. And I began to think that something happens to the soul, to our souls, when we abandon the divine qualities of the feminine. Something happens if we abandon those qualities. We become morally and spiritually bankrupt. I saw a video yesterday, and it was where members of ICE, and you all may have seen it, it was up in Massachusetts, members of ICE, probably about maybe 30 of them, and they were ripping a baby from its mother's arms. And this woman was screaming and crying and holding on for dear life. Can you imagine the terror and the fear she was feeling as these people, 30 of them or more, were surrounding her, and she's screaming and she's holding on. And her neighbors come, and they are trying to build a barrier around her. And then her sister comes out and tries to help and move some of the people out. And this other member of ICE, who was a woman, grabbed the sister and immediately put cuffs on her. And I'm watching that, but it was the cries. It was the cries of this woman that broke me down. Because I'm not that child's mother, but I could feel what it must feel like to have your child ripped apart from you. And I thought, how cruel. If you want to take the mother, take the mother, but take her child. Why would you take her child from her? It felt heartless and it felt cruel. And I began to think, what is happening to the soul of our nation? What is happening? And then I came across a video where a woman who was screaming racial slurs at a 5-year-old African-American autistic child who had apparently done something, as children do, autistic or not, and she's spewing these racial slurs at him. And a gentleman, apparently not his father, related to him, asks her, why are you doing that or saying that to this child? And she's videotaped moving away and proud that she has said those things. And what again broke my heart, apparently there were thousands of people who she set up a GoFundMe account. And the last I heard, she had over $600,000 that people poured into her, supporting her, humiliating, screaming, yelling, debasing a child. And I thought again, what is happening to the soul of our nation? What is happening? Where's the morality? Where is the compassion? Where is the love for humanity? For the diversity within our humanity? Something is amiss. Something is amiss. And I'm thinking, what will save us? What will save us? I loved Pope Leo XIV's response that he offered to the world. And apparently, there are those, and I suspect they may have come from our country, but I'm not sure. But there are those who have voiced their displeasure at him, saying that he is too what? Too woke. because he cares for what? The poor and the immigrant and those who care. That he's too woke. Now, when does caring for the life and soul of another human being become something that should be avoided? That is handled like it's, you know, a hot potato or a great sin. That this man, and that they're calling him too woke. And I'm saying something, Lord, is wrong with the soul of our nation and the soul of our people. And this is what he wrote. This is one of his first speeches that he gave. He said, to all who sent prayers, love, and hope, as I begin this sacred journey, thank you. I accept this role not as a throne, but a vow. To serve the forgotten, to uplift the broken, to speak plainly where others stay silent. To be called woke in a world that sleeps through suffering is no insult. It is gospel. I'm like, woo, all right, it is gospel. And then he writes, he says, woke means awakened by compassion, guided by truth, humbled by grace, committed to justice, not just for some, but for all. So let them mock, let them sneer. We will still build the kingdom, not with walls, but with love. And then he says, be awake, be loving, be woke. And I'm like, all right, yes. You know, Pope Leo got my vote. Pope Leo is woke. It's not a bad thing to be compassionate. It is not a bad thing to be loving, to care for your fellow human beings. You see, he understood the divine qualities and the power of the feminine mystique. The feminine mystique that includes and cares for all. Cares for all. And so I decided I wanted to go further and look up. You know, I love to take a moment and look up ChatGPT, yes, and see what Chat says. And so I asked this question. I said, what is the spiritual significance of the divine feminine? And this is what it said. The divine feminine is a concept that embodies qualities traditionally associated with femininity, such as nurturing, intuition, compassion, and creativity. The spiritual significance varies across different cultures and spiritual traditions. But some common themes include, one, balance of energies. The divine feminine represents a balancing force to the divine masculine. It balances everything out. You cannot have just masculine energy without the divine feminine. There must be a balancing. And it says, emphasizing the importance of harmony between these energies in both individuals and in the universe. There must be a balance. Two, connection to nature. Often, this divine, right, I ask, what is the spiritual significance of the divine feminine? Often linked to earth and the cycles of life, the divine feminine symbolizes the interconnectedness of all living beings and the nurturing aspect of nature. It's that divine feminine that knows everything is a part of the whole, every part, including what? Mother Earth. Every living being, every living thing is a part of the whole. Various, different, but a part of the whole. The thing also, the third one was empowerment and healing. The divine feminine encourages self-acceptance, inner strength, and healing. It invites individuals to embrace their emotions and vulnerabilities, fostering personal growth. That,
That energy of the feminine is going to move us into a place of healing and wholeness. The divine feminine always wants all of it. You know, one of my mother's favorite things is to say, you know, I want all of my children to just, you know, be together and to love each other. And that's what I want. I want you all to be together. And when I go, I want you all to remember each other. You know, she's always stick together, stay together. You know, that's that energy, the interconnectedness of life, even with nature itself, which also invites us towards healing and to honor what our emotional state, our feeling state. When we lose our ability to be compassionate and to feel one another, we have lost ourselves and our souls as people. So we have to feel one another's. I cried for that woman. I don't know her, but I felt her. And it touched me in my soul. That's compassion. That is the connectedness. That was that divine feminine. And it encourages, I love that, healing and self-acceptance. Because mama's going to accept you even when you do wrong. Even when you make mistakes, that divine, it's okay. Let's accept who you are. Then the fourth thing is creativity and intuition. Intuition. This aspect is often associated with the creative process and intuition, highlighting the importance of listening to one's inner voice and expressing oneself authentically. The spirit of the divine is always speaking. Right now, it's guiding, directing, speaking to your heart, speaking to your soul, whispering. This is the path. This is the way that leads to goodness. It's always there, always speaking to us. And that intuition is that our ability for us to go within and to hear, to feel, to know, to be, and then to explain. We've got to sharpen our intuitive abilities, and everybody has that ability. Some use it more than others. But when that still, small voice is speaking, you must train yourself to hear. And I keep saying, I'm going to listen, Lord. Listen. There's a scripture that says, here I am, Lord, your servant. I'm listening, Lord. Are you listening for the voice of God, for your guidance, for your direction, for the goodness? Because it will never lead you down the path of separateness, hatred, evil. That's not the voice of God. That's the voice of ego. The voice of spirit speaks of love. It speaks of compassion. It speaks of unity. It speaks of oneness, wholeness, goodness. Right? That's how you know. People say, how do I know it's the voice of God? Is it leading you someplace good? Or is it leading you someplace of separation? You'll know. Intuition. And then it says community and relationships. The divine feminine emphasizes the significance of relationship, community, and collaboration, advocating for connection and compassion amongst people. These are the qualities that life is calling for right now, not only in our nation, but across the world. That the mother is speaking. The mother is trying to get us to understand that we are here to be connected, to demonstrate compassion with one another. To make sure that everybody has a seat at the table of life. And that everybody is well fed, well taken care of. Just like I make sure my mama is well fed and taken care of. This is the call that is being put out into the collective consciousness. And we think it's the other call for destruction, separation. That's fine, that will happen, but that is what is going to lead us what to the true call. The more we see the division, the hatred, the separation, whatever, the more that inner call will come louder and louder for us to come together. And this is what I know. As the scripture says, the meek shall inherit the earth. We will come together, the people of the earth that are of goodness and light and love will stand forth. It will take place on this planet. We will heal not only the nation, but the world. And it is the divine feminine. This is the era and the time of the divine feminine. The patriarchy has gotten us this far. Progression, right? All of that, wonderful. Building machines, building technologies, going to the moon, great. But it is the divine feminine that will bring us together as community to recognize our oneness, to recognize our love for each other, for life, for God, for truth, for value, for goodness, for beauty. That's the balancing that must take place. And we're moving into this era. I won't get into how I thought this country was to be led by a woman. I think it was in the charts. I think it was in the stars. I also think there was something else nefarious afoot. But that's okay, because a seed was planted. And at some point, women are going to rise up, not just here, but in other countries around the world. So it's our time to sharpen our intuition, because everybody has the divine feminine qualities within them, just like women have the masculine qualities, the divine masculine, these higher qualities in us to create. We also have these other qualities. So we're here to open up our hearts, to be like, you know, as Pope Leo said, to be woke. Now is the time, more than ever, to be woke to the suffering of others. This is going to save our world. It's going to be the feminine mystique. It's going to be the divine feminine energy that calls for love, that calls for healing, that calls for compassion, collaboration, oneness, connectedness. This is what will save the world. And the earth itself. Scripture says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We will take care of Mother Earth. We will wake up to recognize without her, we will have no life. Mother is calling. The mother is calling. And when mother calls, you better answer. You better answer. Happy Mother's Day to everyone.